for you, huh?
December 16th, 2015, Arizona City Fire District Regular Board Meeting.
I don't even, it isn't even important.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll call the meeting to order. Today is December 16th. Governing Board of the Arizona City Fire District will meet in regular session. The meeting will be held at the district's firehouse located at 14022 South Sunlingen Road, Arizona City, Arizona 85123. The board may vote to go into executive session on any agenda item pursuant to ARS 38-43.03A3 for legal advice, or ARS 38-43103A1 on matters as set forth in the agenda items. Board members or other participants may attend by telephonic conference. The following topics and any variables thereto will be subject to the board consideration, discussion, approval, or other action. All items are set forth, are set for possible action. First item on the agenda, we call to order. Second item, Pledge of Allegiance. Would you please stand?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this time we'll move to number three, which is roll call. Mr. Tim McCain, Director McCain, is present. Director Steve Brady is present. Director Betty Harding is present. Director Bill Bailey is present, and therefore we have a quorum. Number four, I'd like to welcome all of you out there in the audience. Always good to see those smiling faces, especially this time of year. And we wish you a merry, merry Christmas and holiday. Fire Chief's Report, number five.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So everybody should have the December Fire Chief's Report in front of them. There is a total of 38 items. I'm just going to highlight a couple because I want to spend some extra time on them tonight. Number one, starting January 1st, we have five of our members that are scheduled to go to a rotating 24-hour, 48-hour rotational shift. This is going to help us on overtime. It's basically the same shifts they're working, but they're averaging 10 to 11 shifts a month, but unfortunately the way they're working those shifts is costing us additional overtime. And those members are Ernie Lopez, Joel Powers, Jose Serrano, Aiden Rodriguez, and Nate Oliver. So this will eliminate that extra overtime. Remember, anything over 212 hours in a 28-day pay period constitutes time and a half on the federal 56-hour work week. So by rotating for 24 hours on, 48 hours off, we'll be able to eliminate that overtime. And for example, we're having people that are working between 55 and 60 hours of overtime just because we're covering for folks that have to cancel due to other shift requirements. So by doing that, we'll eliminate that overtime, and we're able from that savings to actually acquire single pay insurance for just each of those members at a cost savings for the district. So it's kind of a wash of hands of both of those to go forward. So that's how we're going to do that for those single coverage person medical coverage for our members now. Moving to facilities and equipment, number four, it was about 2.5 weeks ago, I got a frantic call about 2 o'clock in the morning from our dispatch telling us that we couldn't get a hold of crews on site. So they were wondering if there was an emergency. So what we found out is we've just had our preventive maintenance done in November on our radio repeater. This is a device that allows us to hear from our dispatching center up in the valley. What happened is the batteries failed, so we had a power outage about 11:30. Alarm did not receive a call saying that we're going to battery backup power, and we did not receive a call saying we're going to battery backup power. So what happened is we lost communications. So that's when they start calling me, getting everybody on. So I called the duty phone again. The duty phone had lost power as well with the power outage, and the battery was dying. So we were able to scramble and make coverage for that night, but you'll see it reflected in some of our extended response times. But what we found out is that PM hadn't been done for several years. So I started a standard operating procedure to put the radio repeater PM on an annual basis from there. We've ordered backup batteries, and we've ordered backup redundant chargers, mini chargers that are going to cycle those deep cycle batteries up and down, similar to what you'd find on a recreational device for a deep cycle charge. So we now have a procedure in place to help us with those, and the PM will be done annually from there. Training was recouped from last month as well, too, with SCBA competency. You'll see our procedures and standard operating procedures are moving forward, and our standard operating guidelines are moving forward. So I'd like to move to the second page, please, under the CON. We're continuing our efforts to build paramedic coverage and paramedic manpower to support our endeavor of going with the CON. Our meetings continue with Eloy, Casa Grande, Superstition, Fire and Medical, as well as Southwest, to see the pliability of looking at our CON shared across Eloy and Casa Grande. So we're working on that now. And this additional manpower model will allow us to be successful as well. Under community service number 20, on the 4th of December, the Arizona City Fire District and the Association held the annual Santa Fly-In celebration with the help of many people and groups and organizations. We had Mr. and Mrs. Claus from Make a Kid Smile. Unfortunately, they were at with the hospital tonight, the nursing home, so they couldn't come by tonight to be greeted for that. But they're hard at this time of year going to all the community centers. But Mr. and Mrs. Claus was Jim and Loretta
Short?
Works. So they do a tremendous job for us. If you've come to our other events, that's been our Minion, that's been our Mickey and Minnie, that's been the other celebration people. So I heard nothing but great feedback from Mr. and Mrs. Claus from that event. We had approximately 300 children and families that attended the event. The big hit was Air Evac brought in Santa Claus, so delivered Santa Claus for us. Mrs. Claus arrived via our Christmas lit engine 568, and was escorted by one of our district members' motorcycles clubs. They're all dressed as reindeer, and we're all lit up. So that worked out really, really well for us. Mr. and Mrs. Claus lit the tree for us. We sold some food during the event, and we made about $600 for the association. Again, I think the way we'd set the lineup this year, serpentining back and forth, kept people closer together, and we were done with people by 8 o'clock, about 8:05 to be exact, where in the past people had left because the line just wasn't moving. So kudos to the group for doing that. I think it went off really, really well. On number 21, on the 5th of November, or December, excuse me, we attended the Casa Grande Electric Light Parade for the first time in our history. And we still won first place for the public safety group. So kudos to the group that that worked on that, Captain Ernie Lopez, Firefighter EMT Ryan Brazier, and Firefighter EMT Engineer Bill Brown did a great job to get that truck up. And again, it was our first one, and we won first prize, so that's pretty exciting. On the 12th, we went to the Eloy Electric Light Parade as well. And then down on number 24, that's our big one. This Saturday, the 19th, we're going to have the Arizona City Fire District and Association Adopt-A-Family program. If you look behind you, there are actually gifts for 41 kids in our community. So we had set up to try to adopt 40. I work with some corporate partners this year, and we were able to acquire almost $5,000 from our corporate donations, and I still have more money coming in. So we spent about $160 per child. We bought a pair of shoes, a pair of pants, a light shirt, a light jacket, and a very small, small toy. But we know we worked really hard on that this year. I'd like to personally thank Pinal 40 Inc., Kohl's, Target Air Evac, and several residents, and the Arizona City Ladies Golfers for making large donations to this year's program. So with our 501c3 and our 509a2, we were able to take those charitable donations. So really, really good. The other thing, too, starting last Thursday, Betty, Pepper, and Stacy, my wife, started shopping. I think they left Thursday, gosh, right around 5 o'clock, and it was midnight before you really were back in. Friday was the same thing. Saturday, we actually received another family on Saturday, I think, from Board Member McCain's church, and we were able to go back out and buy those. And you don't realize how much work it is to pick up 41 people's gifts for that as well. So some pretty enlightening stories from us. We were able to vet it through our local pastors, the local school administrators, to vet them as best as we can. But boy, there's some heart-wrenching stories that you hear through that process as well. We have one guy who's 18, has four siblings and a mom that's out working trying to support the kids and just kept turning us down for anything to help him. We found out what he needed was a pair of work boots, some more work pants, and a work shirt to actually get more jobs. So we were able to pick that up for him as well, which that's giving him the tools that he needs to be successful as well. So pretty exciting there. Again, hard work by a lot of people as well. The lady golfers in town gave us almost $650. They put the heat on the men's golfers. So I'm expecting a check any day from there. So they're dogging them pretty hard for us. So that's good. And we have about another $1,000 coming in. So everything we get in through our 501c3 is going to go right back into the program. As you know, with our 501c3 and our 509a2 this year, the charitable contributions are coming in. Our $8,000 fireworks now become $4,000. So it just gives us more money to help our community as well. We had probably a dozen Christmas wreaths and Christmas center places that were highly discounted to us. We bought them for $10 a piece. This is going to go to our seniors in the community as well outside of this. So this is 9 families, 41 kids for this Saturday, Mr. and Mrs. Claus. The helicopter's coming back in. The 12 wreaths are coming in as well to help go to the community from there. So again, thanks to Betty Pepper and Stacy on their hard work. Number 26. We've also partnered, let me back up to 25. Monday, we did a wrapping party. And again, for those 41 kids, times those 6 gifts, that's a lot of wrapping. And although I'm really good at being a chief, you don't want me near a wrapping gift. I think I have more tape on me than the presents when we're done. My wife always said, were you trying to do that? And I'm like, that's the best I can do. So it was tough. But we probably had close to 15 people in here wrapping, I bet. So they made short work of the project as well. We had some Christmas cookies. People brought Christmas cookies as well. And again, Peppy was pepper. Betty and Stacy were pretty tired from shopping, so that worked out really good to put them in. You'll see the big bags for each family goes in when they come in on Saturday with Santa and Mrs. Claus. The tree where we had set up on the weekend, we're going to reset that area up, and everything will go into that as well. So pretty exciting stuff. And then 26 to go with that as well, we've partnered with Cornerstone Church of Casa Grande. And we've given them seniors' names of folks we know in the area that are struggling. And they're actually going to provide meals on Christmas morning. And it just so happens we went on a kitchen fire yesterday on a Royal Black Heath. Thank you. And it took their kitchen out of commission. So that's a set of folks, they're in their 90s that aren't going to be able to get back up by Christmas time. So we're going to put them on the list. They're going to be there for Christmas meals. Do we have a number of the Christmas meals yet? So 14 meals there, the 41 kids, 9 families, and the Christmas wreaths as well. So we're trying to touch as many people as we can on that element as well.
Nice.
So very busy there. 27, that's a wreath we just talked about, so I kind of jumped ahead there. But again, we're going to deliver those wreaths to our seniors with our on-duty crew and also the association to get those sort of folks here around Christmas time. School events and groups, number 30, on the 3rd of December, we had the privilege to go over to the Arizona City Elementary School, 4 district members and myself, through the Holiday Read-Along Story Program. So the kids came in their pajamas, drank hot chocolate, and we got to read a book or two to each of the children going through the process. Christmas-related books, and a pretty humbling experience as well. Number 33, on the 9th of December, I was able to attend the Cabinet Advisory Committee meeting in Coolidge. This is a board I sit on to advance the fire service with new students and new employees. With that, I've developed a ride-along program for us here for Arizona City. So students in the second year from both Cabot and CAC now will come along and ride with us as a learning opportunity. And what we're finding are people that are struggling with the fire service aren't struggling because they can't throw a ladder, they can't pull hose, or they can't run an EMS call. What they're struggling with is these life lessons of what it's like to live in a firehouse and participate as a group, as a family, and the camaraderie and the loyalty that's to that group. So by doing this, we're giving some of those students an opportunity what it's going to be like in real life to go get a job in a fire district or a fire department. The good thing it does for us is it provides additional manpower free of charge that we get by giving our education. So that just supersedes what we have and supplements our manpower on a daily basis. With 86% of our calls being back-to-back, that's something that helps us on a day-to-day basis, half a dozen, one or 12 or the other. So. And then the other big news is the Verizon construction tower has started this week. So the 50-foot tower should start to go up the first week of the year. They poured the case on and went down 22 feet this morning. And those of you Verizon customers in the area will be quite pleased to know that that tower should be online by the 1st of February. Yes. So I know Tim's a big fan.
Yes.
He's wearing out the carpet at one spot of his house and he can't move on it and have to talk to somebody.
I have to go outside to talk on the phone. So.
So that's going good for us now. The crane should be on site the first week to set the tower. And that's all I have.
All right. Great report. Any comments from the board?
I'd just like to commend you and say thank you for your vision and heart for the community, you know, on a lot of things that we're doing for the community and big thing for the fire district. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you.
And you are who, sir?
That's Tim McCain.
Great. Bill Bailey, I'd just like to say thank you, Chief, for all the work you've done, and our association is just amazing. And not just that, but the community gets involved as well. This is really neat to see, and Arizona City needs this kind of activity, and well, the benefits, I'm sure, just a million. So that's wonderful. Good job.
Thank you.
Please share that with everybody. Okay. Under the contracts, business issues, you didn't have anything you needed to present there?
Nothing.
Okay, very good. All right, staff reports. Item number six.
Item number six. So for the month of November, November 1st through the 30th, we were at a total of 139 calls. We had one structure fire out in Cabrera Estates, not too far around from Steve. That was the one structure fire for the month. If you drop down to line 19, you'll see that there. Line 20, we had 105 medical and emergency response calls. We had 8 false alarms in the month. Mutual aid given was 0 for this month. We had 1 hazardous materials response call. And we had 24 that fell into all other categories, which were lockout, animal rescue, smoke scare, that type of things. So you'll see there under the image trends reports for 139 total calls. Excuse me, for the month of November.
Chief, can I stop you right there? You're showing a $200 property loss figure, I believe, for all incidents. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do we, will we see a year-end total at some point?
I haven't set up for the fiscal year, but I'm happy to break it down calendar year for you, too.
Okay, whatever, you know.
Sure.
Would the calendar year be fine if you want to do it on the fiscal year? I'm just kind of curious about what kind of dollar loss we're seeing in the district from primarily fire situations.
Either or.
Okay.
You have to get that.
Your discretion.
Get a total.
Okay. Your discretion.
Total.
Great.
Yeah, no total at the end.
Okay.
Good. Steve Brady.
Thank you.
Page number 2 breaks it out a little bit further. You'll see these are our total amount of firefighter injuries or causations that cause hazardous conditions to our fire department for both members on the medical side and the fire side. And you'll see that that's 0 for the month. If you turn to the next page, this breaks it out a little bit greater from image trend. This takes all of our EMS calls, regardless of chart writing, and breaks those down. So you'll see that we had 69 we responded to, no lights and siren, which is code 2. Lights and siren, we did 38, which is code 3. Unknown, where we started with 1 and went to the other, was 3 for a total of 110 calls. Of those 110 calls, 8 ended up being treated and transferred care to Southwest. We had 1 that was treated and released. We had 17 patient refusals, which means they refused treatment once they called us. Well, unfortunately, we had 4 victims that ended up being dead on arrival. We had 2 cancellations and 1 unknown for a total of 110 calls. And if you look at the next page, you'll see the breakdown here by percentages. This is every call we had, both fire and EMS, that we wrote a chart on. So you'll see there at the bottom, total incident counts ends up being 140. So whether we refuse care or not, we still write paperwork on that for a total of 140 runs. And then the last page is the fractile response time. Remember our 90% fractile response time, we're trying to get under 5 minutes from the time we're called to the time we're on the scene. As I said earlier, we lost our communications tower. We were up a little bit, so our average for that 90% fractile response time was 7 minutes and 0 seconds. The highest response time was that night, which was 12 minutes. By the time I received a late phone call after trying for several minutes to get the on-duty staff, and then I got dressed and got to the call where I was trying to reach everybody, it ended up being 12 minutes. It ended up being a non-life life emergency call, but we still are trying to get that 90% fractal time down for that. Even at that, you look at our average response time, we're still at 4 minutes and 40 seconds, which is well under our 6 minute and 0 second mark that we've set for ourselves. But if you look on the chart, in the Pareto chart, if you go across there, you'll see the high data point is all the way out at 12 minutes there to kind of skew the data for us. If you pull that out, we're well below 4 minutes for the rest of the month. It's just an hour we lost communications as well. And that's all I have for the staff reports, Mr. Chairman.
Great, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any correspondence?
We do. We received three. We received a card from the Mary C. O'Brien Schools. We covered in our my chief's report. We went there for their Eagle Dash Days. Captain Etherton and myself went out and supported it on the 12th as well. We were there for 5 hours, and they wrote us a note saying, Arizona City Fire District, thank you for attending and bringing the truck to our Eagle Dash on December 12th. We appreciate all your preparation that helped us make this family event a success. Mary C. O'Brien. Received a note from one of our customers saying, I want to thank everyone at the fire district for coming to my aid when all my alarms were going off and I didn't know what to do. Thank you for everything that you do. Lastly, we received one for another smoke detector call from Mary Nunn that asked us and gave us thanks for all we do. Another one, we went out there and we helped change our vaulted ceiling. Unfortunately, didn't have a ladder. Those are the three communications correspondence we received for the vault.
Any comments, questions? Okie dokie. Next item, consent agenda. All the items under the consent agenda will be approved under one motion unless one of the governing board members pulls an item or items for further discussion. At this point, I'd like to basically, quote, pull the minutes from last month's meeting. I neglected to include two items on the minutes, so at next month's meeting, when we go to approve those minutes, I'll add those two items in and ask for your approval on those. Is there anything else that we need to make a change on? And I have a motion to accept the items number 2 through 9 of the consent agenda.
Make a motion that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
2 through 9?
2 through 9.
Betty Harding. Okay. Do I have a second?
Aye, Tim McCain, the second.
Okay, we have a second. Call for a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries unanimously. All right, moving on to item number 9, call to the public. This is a section for comments from the public. Those wishing to address the Arizona City Fire District Board need to request permission in advance by filling out a request to address the board card. District Board is not permitted to discuss or take action on any item raised in the call to the public. However, individual board members may be permitted to respond to criticism directed to them. Otherwise, the board may direct the staff to review the matter or that the matter be placed on future agenda. District Board cannot discuss or take legal action on any issue raised during the call to the public due to restrictions of the open meeting law. And we have a speaker request card from Jenny Carlson. Jenny, would you like to come up?
In this magazine this week, Jenny Carlson, I think it was probably discussed on the CON, Casa Grande's having a problem with Southwest Ambulance. There's a part of an article here on it. And also something about that the ambulance will transfer in-town patients, but maybe not out of town. I was wondering if that's going to affect Arizona City at all.
Their agreement for the CON won't have any bearing on what we do.
They don't.
It's what they've set up for them since
the Southwest, I know they, a while back, they were in trouble or bankruptcy or something. I don't know if you've read any of this or not. Have you? Have you?
I have not.
You can have that magazine.
All
it's
right.
It's just a new magazine out. So.
And for the record, it's Golden Corridor Living Magazine, holiday 2015 issue. Thank you.
So it's a good magazine, but I just happened to read that today, and I was wondering if this district is still having a problem with Southwest.
Their agreement won't have any bearing on what we're doing. They've set it up because banner costs are writing.
Also, another real quick item, the dispatch, not dispatch, the independent is reporting those calls ridiculous. Excluding accidents, same thing over and over.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. Okay, moving along to the next item, old business, and there is none, so we'll move on to item number 11. Item number one, under item 11, new business is discussion, possible action, reference oath of office for our new board member. And I'll turn that over to Fire Chief Eaton at this point in time.
Okay, before I do the oath of office, Mr. Chairman, would you like to say anything about our new member?
Yes, I announced at the last meeting that tonight we would make the announcement. So we're here to welcome Roger Taylor on board. And Roger, we would like you to come forward for the oath of office. We're tickled to have you and looking forward to working with you.
All right, Roger, if you'd raise your right hand for me, please. I state your name.
I state your name.
Roger, just like that. Yeah, I can tell you guys are friends.
I think we watched the same movie.
I think so.
I, Roger Taylor,
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I support the Constitution of the United States.
That I support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws.
And the Constitution and laws.
Of the state of Arizona.
Of the state of Arizona.
And I will bear true faith.
And I will bear truth, faith.
And allegiance.
And allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
And defend them against all enemies.
And defend them against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
And I will faithfully.
And I will faithfully.
And impartially discharge.
And impartially discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
Of the governing board member.
Of the governing board member.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God. Thank you.
Congratulations, sir. We have a place here.
All right, table.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. And look, he gets to give you a whole bunch of stuff now.
Oh, boy. Right. You get a whole lot of homework.
Merry Christmas.
No, I said I had to know how to read.
I draw big pictures, just in case.
Well, you have a beautiful woman with you. Take care of her. All right, item number two, discussion, possible action, reference, selection of board chairman and board clerk, Chief Eaton.
All right, being December, we have to elect a new president for 2016, Perpinal County. Our officers run from January to December. We received a phone call. We've been a little relaxed on our clerk position. We really haven't had a clerk, unfortunately, with Mr. Eastwood's passing. And then the kind of fruition of people moving in on and off the board, we really haven't traditionally had a clerk in 2015. So they've asked us to do our voting tonight to appoint a new president for 2016 and a new chair for 2016 for our board going forward. So that's action that we have to complete here tonight.
Okay, very good. At this point, I'll open nominations for the position of board clerk.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to nominate Tim.
Betty Harding nominates Tim McCain for the position of board clerk.
Board chairman, I'm sorry.
Chairman first?
I misunderstood.
Okay, all right. Are you going to withdraw your nomination?
No. I withdraw it as clerk and reinstate it as
when chairman. We come to the time to vote on board chairman, you may do so.
Go ahead.
All right, for the record, I think Betty Harding is withdrawing her nomination for Tim McCain as board chairman at this time because we are in the process of nominating a board clerk.
Correct.
All right. Any other nominations? I'll nominate Tim McCain for board clerk. Any other nominations? Going once. Going twice. Do I have a motion to close nominations for board clerk?
So move, Steve Brady.
Okay, Steve Brady, motion to close. Do I have a second to that motion? And Roger, you feel free to jump in.
Roger Taylor, I'll second that motion.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we have a nomination for Tim McCain for board clerk. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Do I have to vote?
Sure, you can vote.
Sure, aye.
All right. Motion fails 3-2. So this leaves us in a position where we need to open nominations for board clerk once more, as it is a position that Pinal County states that we need to fill. Do I hear any nominations for board clerk?
Can I ask for clarification first for what the board clerk position entails?
Certainly. And I don't have my definitions in front of me. But you're responsible for signing off, monitoring the financials of the district.
Okay.
Seeing that all our legal documents are presented in the proper form and signed. Chief, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, I think that's, you're really the clerk of the process for all the paperwork as well, too. So I'll present all that for you.
Okay.
Get that as well as move forward. No, Mr. Chairman, maybe if I can, maybe just go to board chairman, and maybe that will help you backfill the next one if you'd like. Maybe
we can try that, Chief.
Maybe that'll help, so.
All right.
Midnight's coming quickly.
Very good.
So.
Yes, you got a point there. We don't want to go past, what's our latest, 7,
we've 10? We've been doing good lately.
All right. At this time, I will open nominations for board chairman for the year 2016. Do I have any nominations?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to nominate Tim for board chairman.
Okay. We have a nomination from Betty Harding for Tim McCain for board chairman. Do we have any other nominations? Going once? Going twice? Okay, motions are over. Can I have a roll call vote for Mr. McCain as board chairman? Do I need a second to that motion? I'm lost here. I'm sorry. I need a second to that motion. Can I have a second? Somebody give me a second.
Roger Taylor, out.
Roger, thank you. All right. Okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Call for a roll call vote. All those in favor? Oh, correction. It's not going to be a roll call vote. It's just going to be by the
consent
vote. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries 3-2. Okay, congratulations.
Forgot that?
Sure, I'm sure.
Just for my clarification, you had 3-2, 4?
3-2, 3-4, 2 against, or 2 abstained.
Okay.
Oh, abstained, I'm sorry. For clarification, okay. Yeah. 3-4, 2 abstained. All right.
So now we just,
you know, we're going to skip backwards again and open nominations for board clerk position. Do we have any nominations?
I'll nominate Bill Bailey for that position.
Goodness. Okay, do we have any other nominations? Please.
I'll second that nomination.
Okay. Nomination has been seconded. We have a motion by Tim McCain for Bill Bailey and a second by Roger Taylor. Any other nominations?
Only once.
All right, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor of that nomination signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay.
One.
One. All right. Very good. Okay, we got that taken care of.
I'll report that back to the county then, so.
Great.
That'll make them pleased, so thank you for that.
Betcha.
Always got to keep the county happy.
Oh, yeah.
It's important. It's important.
Item number 3, discussion possible action reference 2016 election, Fire Chief.
All right. So as we've discussed many times before, due to some of the convolutedness of our positions and reiterations of folks stepping on and off the board and unfortunately a death of someone in office, four of our positions are up in the 2016 cycle. As Board Chairman Bailey, Board Member Harding, Board Member Brady, and our new Board Member Taylor as well, because he's superseding a vacant spot that comes to fruition at the end of 2016. We converted Board Member McCain's during the new election cycle to a four-year term, so he's with us to the end of 2018. But the four of you will need to have your votes and register your into the county in Florence by April if you intend to run for the 2016 cycle. Paperwork each and every one of you have to do independently. I can't help you with that, but it's something the county requires that you do on your own to be able to run and be on the ballot in 2016. So that's the original paperwork you did back in November of 2011. And Roger, I'll get you that paperwork. I can do that, but okay. I can't fill it out for you.
All right.
So, but I'll get that for you. It's over in Florence at the county seat, and you have to refile for that paper by April. Board Member McCain is good until April of 2018, so he's got a few years. A couple things we need to do. As you know, that election will happen in November, so that paperwork has to be in by, I believe it's April 15th.
You have to go to the...
In Florence, so you have to do that in person. They require you to come to the window to do that, but that will be in April, and then we will actually go for that election in September. So if you really think about it, there's only 9 more board meetings left. We'll petition in October, and we vote in November, and that's where it goes out to the general public for voting, and then the positions we voted on as well, and anybody else within our fire district that would like to run for the board will have their chance to go to Florence and do the exact same thing. We'll actually do the county polling for these positions in November. So really, presentations are in December, so we, I'm sorry, in October, so we need to have it in September. So September it's in, October presentations to the board, we vote in November, we take office in December, rolling forward then for 2000. So although it seems a long time away, April's going to sneak up for us, and I just want to put that out to the board. I'll continue to put that on old business going forward till each of you have had an opportunity to decide to fill out your paperwork and go forward from there.
Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
All righty. Any questions? Comments? Okay. All right, next item, number 4 under new business, discussion, possible action, reference fire chief evaluation, and that is my entry. As you all know, the chief's been with us since March of this year, and I think we need to sit down with the chief in a work session and discuss, you know, an evaluation process, see what kind of recommendations each of you can bring back to the board. For that process, and hopefully, you know, prior to March, maybe February, we can reach an agreement on the method to do that evaluation. I would suggest setting a 1-hour work session prior to our January 20th regular board meeting. If that would work, I think that would make it easier for most of us. Is that in agreement with everyone, or would you prefer a different method to do that? That works all right.
That'd be the best. Let me check on my date.
Okay. All right.
Got a lot of stuff coming first quarter for me.
All right. Why don't we tentatively set that then as a meeting for that night, a work session for that night, an hour before our regular meeting?
Okay.
And if for some reason we need to make a change or something comes up where one of you can't attend, we can modify it at that time.
All right. Mr. Chairman, what's up with that, February or March?
We want to do the evaluation in March. We want to come back to the board with a definite date for the evaluation in February.
February.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome.
So the January meeting, we're coming
January
an hour
meeting.
Early.
We come an hour early,
okay,
right?
Just making mm-hmm. sure.
You bet. Okay. Next item, number 5 under new business, discussion, possible action, reference, January through the 14th through the 16th, after conference, Chief Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome.
A couple quick items on this. As you all know, the AFTA meeting is January 14th through 16th in Laughlin, Nevada. AFTA, through the Arizona Revised Standards, says our board members have 1 year to attend the four required courses that every board member has to go through. So we have everybody signed up for that. I think the only one that we're hinged on, Steve, is your schedule. Unfortunately, this is you were out of town on the June one course down in Tucson, so this is kind of a go or no go gauge for you for that. So we have to make sure you get in and get those reported, or the county will ask us to remove. I think we're good there. I know you're checking on your schedule, so we talked about that thing. The attendance again. We also need to vote on, if you would choose as a board. Last year we prepaid the mileage and prepaid the food. As you all know, the mileage is paid at the county rate, and the food is paid at the same rate as well. It's $45, I believe. So $45. This year you'll get that for the dates in which you travel to go there. We add one extra date due to the long drive back from Laughlin that will all return on Sunday as well. So you receive that for every day, and the mileage coming and going, and your cost is covered by the district as well. And all cost of courses are covered by the district as well. So you may, because our next meeting is after the conference, maybe have an action item that we could have the business manager hired put together those pre.
You need to make a motion on that?
You certainly may.
Well, I make a motion that she prepare those per diem checks prior to our travel to Laughlin.
Okay, and you are?
Tim McCain.
Great.
This Thanks, recording Tim. Thing's weird.
All right, we have a motion on the floor from Tim McCain to have the travel per diem checks available to the board directors or board members prior to AFTA. Do we have a second on the motion?
I'll second that.
Betty Harding seconds. Okay, and I'll call for any discussion. I'm sorry. Any discussion? Okay, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Steve, did you vote?
Yes, I did.
Unanimously. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Okay, motion carries unanimously.
You're kidding me. You didn't hear me.
You didn't have to start shouting.
I didn't hear it.
Never had that problem.
So we'll prepare those checks as we did with the same format.
Okay, and with that, I've got good news for you. Next meeting date's January 20th, 6 p.m. for the regular meeting, 5 p.m. for the work session. For the regular meeting, please have your agenda action items to the chief by the 12th. And with that, we'll go for adjournment at 6:44 p.m.
Okay.